Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We are all set to go, kind of. Welcome to the Wings Sunday Morning Adult Sunday School discussion class. And let's start off with a word of prayer today. I say Etta.
Huh?
You want to start us off in prayer? Say just a little prayer for us to have a good class.
Well, I'm used to this.
Want me to choose somebody else?
Lord, thank you for bringing me today.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
I'm sorry that I didn't make it last week. Thank you for bringing me first place.
Yes, Jesus.
Good people. Good church. And I just wonder why people don't read the Bible. They try to teach it. They give sermons. They don't know it. They don't know what they're sending out to people. And it's a pretty big job, but I'm sure you can handle it. And thank you for bringing people to me. They're good. They say something, they mean it. I ask you now, the lesson today. Help me to understand.
Yes, Jesus.
That I miss a lot of times here. So, I don't remember everything that we did before. Probably don't pray right. I just pray you and me. That's all I know. I don't pray like normal people. I just talk to you. And you don't know how. It's good for me. Thank you for today. Thank you for what you did for me. And the doctors that you said to me. So, I guess I'll go for now. We'll get on with the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Praise you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Today we're in 1 Corinthians, and I think we're going to start chapter 10. Unless anybody has anything, they still want to bring out from chapter 9. Okay. I couldn't get much further in Corinthians chapter 10 than verse 7. So how about we just read up to and including verse 7 of the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians.
Right.
Let's read it in the Amplified.
Alrighty. For I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, that our forefathers were all under and protected by the cloud in which God's presence went before them, and every one of them passed safely through the Red Sea. And each one of them allowed himself also to be baptized into Moses. Each one himself to be baptized in the cloud and in the sea. They were thus brought under obligation to the law, to Moses, and to the covenant, consecrated and set apart to the service of God. And all of them ate the same spiritual, supernaturally given food. And they all drank the same spiritual, supernaturally given drink, for they drank from a spiritual rock, which followed them and produced the soul power of God himself without natural instrumentality. And the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with the great majority of them, for they were overthrown and strewn down along the ground in the wilderness. Now these things are examples and warnings and admonitions for us not to desire or crave or covet or lust after evil and carnal things as they did. Do not be worshipers of false gods, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink. The sacrifice was offered to the golden calf of Horeb, and rose to sport, to dance and give way to jesting and hilarity.
What I got out of that, the heading on chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians says, avoid Israel's mistakes. And I was very overcome by, let's see, the first 7 verses talk about God, who God is, what was his, God's care for, and God's total, Israel could be just totally sit back and rely on God. And yet, with most of them, he was not pleased. And I wanted to kind of pick up a few things that I read here out of the Passion. My dear fellow believers, you need to understand that all of our Jewish ancestors who walked through a wilderness long ago. Aren't we kind of walking through a wilderness ourselves today? We're under the glory cloud. Now, what's the glory cloud? The cloud of glory, it says here, is the picture of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit, the glory cloud, who never leaves us, never forsakes us. He's right there leading us on. And he was leading them on, too.
His very presence.
Yes. Yeah. And they all passed through the waters of the sea on both sides. Now, if that happened to us, you think we'd go, whoa! You know? I'm just like, what does it take?
I'm sitting here thinking, they lived with the miraculous every day. They were in the desert, a rock with water coming out, didn't have to look for it, food provided.
Right.
Miraculous.
That's what I love about these first 7 days, is we see what God did for them. They lived with the miraculous every day of their lives.
Yeah.
And the clothes and shoes never wore out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it says they were all baptized into the cloud of glory. Does that mean they were baptized into the Holy Spirit? Did they even know what baptism was? This was in before Christ. Mm-hmm. So that's something we might want to talk about. They were all baptized into the cloud of glory, into the fellowship of Moses, and into the sea. They were baptized into the cloud, into the fellowship, and into the sea. They all ate the same heavenly manna. Manna. Spiritual food. Every day, God gave them what they needed. He gave them the spiritual food as well as the physical food, but spiritual food that traveled with them. And that rock was Christ himself.
Yes.
Christ is the anointed rock of truth and the rock of shelter. The people drank of his living water. The miracle of the rock of Christ provided them with water wherever they journeyed. He is a fountain that never runs dry, for he will never leave us alone in the wilderness. I was listening the other day to the radio, and there was a guy talking on this one show. He said that our power grid in the United States is very antiquated, according to, you know, if anything were to happen, and it wouldn't take much for one or two of our substations to go down, we would be without electricity. Without electricity, most of that stuff you could live without, you know, for a long time, television, radio, all kinds of things. But it would also get the water purification systems. They run on electricity. And it would be a deadly happening within 3 to 5 days without water. And yet the rock was Christ himself. He is a fountain that never runs dry, for he will never leave us alone in a wilderness. That just speaks to myself of us today. Do we recognize who we are? Do we recognize who's walking with us? Do we recognize who is sustaining us, who's giving us food, who's giving us drink, who's covering us with a cloud, and a cloud by day and light by night? Wow. And then it says, with all of that, yet God was not pleased with most of them. That's downright scary to me. What is it about man, you know, that we're never satisfied? And their dead bodies were scattered around in the wilderness. Now, all these things serve as types and shadows for us. Lessons that teach us not to fail in the same way by callously craving worthless and practicing idolatry, as some of them did. For it is written, the people settled into their unrestrained revelry with feasting and drinking. Then they rose up and became wildly out of control. And that's where I'd like to stop. I'd like to stop and talk because about God's way, not about how rotten we are. That we can do that another day. Let's talk about how wonderful God is today. Let's talk about how he supplies every one of our needs, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And if we just will recognize
it. Let me read. It says, spiritual experiences does not guarantee infallibility. That's how they title that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know, we could all sit here and say, why did this happen? But God purposed that it would happen so we would know what happens when people fail to please God. It says that their bones were left in the desert. As we're reading this and going through this, I think a lot of the church today is the same way. They don't want to go on into maturity. They do like to be entertained a lot. I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, why, you said it before, his presence, let's face it, we have been given so much word to this day. His presence is the fullness of joy. In his presence is the fullness of joy. I mean, you know, people that don't have joy and need joy, that's the answer. And I'm not talking to other people. I'm looking in the mirror and said, that's the answer. Hey, you see this? This is the answer. Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope. I mean, I think we live in the greatest day God had ever made. Today. And today is the day that we need to worship him in truth and in spirit and be set free. And whom the Spirit has set free is free indeed. I mean, we have so much scripture to comfort us by the Holy Spirit if we'll have ears to tune it in. I think so many times in everyday life, we're so busy with doing stuff, the thing that we need to be busy about is what Jesus said about my Father's business. I mean, come on, when it comes down to it, the only way we're going to please God all the time is do that. I mean, of course, it says, and, well, I mean, you hear this all the time. People go, well, who am I or what can I do and stuff like that? Well, the truth is you're nobody and you can't do nothing. That's the truth. Why? Because it takes Christ to do it in you.
When you say that,
confess it. If you confess with your mouth, they say, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And it said, that's what happened. Believing in your heart, you know, yeah, it's, and the whole thing it boils down to, and I'm so thankful it does, it doesn't matter where anybody else is at. It matters your personal relationship with him. I mean, that's why it's so important that the individual know God, know not only that he is God, but know him by his leading, my sheep know my voice. Know that? Here's the voice of God. Anytime you read it, you ought to hear it. That's one good reason to read it out loud. And so you can hear it. I mean, you know, we're not quenching the spirit. We're wanting it to move. And, you know, and there is some desires as we, I'm not going to say, as day goes by, that we have good ears to hear. As a matter of fact, sometimes in our lives we'll go like this, are you sure that's you, God, speaking to me? Because it's something that we weren't prepared quite to hear or to receive. But remember this, the word also proclaims that his word won't return void. And if God speaks to you through his word, and I'm pointing at this, but I'm actually pointing right here, through his word. We are the word of God. We became lively stones. And I mean, when he came upon us, we received the spirit of life and of zeal. And we got excited. And I don't know about you, but I didn't even consider hiding any excitement that I had. I was so excited. I was happy. I was just, you know, whatever it was, you know. But the whole thing, it comes down to, I mean, I'm reading this. It says, talking about the experiences. If you don't mind, I want to read it out of J.B. Phillips. For I should like to remind you, my brothers, that our ancestors had all experience of being guided by the cloud in the desert and of the cross in the dry sod. There were all, so to speak, baptized into Moses by these experiences. They all shared the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock which followed them, and it says in J.B. Phillips, and that rock was Christ. And it said, yet in spite of all these experiences, most of them failed to please God and left their bones in the desert. Now in these events, he's telling you some history here. Now in these events, our ancestors stand as examples. That's how we're supposed to see them, as examples. Not failures, but examples. As examples to us, warning us not to crave after evil things as they did, nor are you to worship false gods as they did. And then, of course, the scripture says, thou shalt not eat and drink and rose up to play. But I mean, it's otherwise, I've heard this word, I haven't applied it a lot, but I think there's a time to be sober. And when the Holy Spirit on you comes upon you, if it wants you to laugh, laugh. But don't be surprised if it's leading you into a place you haven't walked before. I mean, you look at a tree, especially after you've had the visitation of the Holy Spirit come upon you. You look at a tree and you're humbled by a tree. And you're looking at everything above it, but he's showing you all the roots that go down deep so they can be watered and grow to that stature. And who's the Bible say gives the increase? Said God gives the increase. So if we're looking for increase among us, it's still God that does that. He hasn't quit doing what he does the best. I mean, I know that probably everyone in here has invited somebody to church, whether they came or not. That's between them and God. But the thing is, we'd love for them to come. Because why? Because God wants them to come. You're a blessing. I love listening to you pray. Hey, and whoever told you you can't pray lied to you. Him who he gives breath to breathe. It says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Yes, amen.
And I go like this. I think he delights in our prayers. I'll shut up.
You know, as y'all been speaking, I can see so much how God is wanting us to know his voice. Because, and not the vessel, and not where it's coming from, the radio, someone you hear, see, and however he presents himself,
right,
and through whomever, as it comes knowing him and knowing it's his voice and not looking at who it is. And then I can see where there was failure with them, because as that song says, my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Yeah.
And when we're not having everything is being built on him, yeah, we fail. We do, but I see a forgiving, loving God in spite of it all. He's teaching us. We're still learning.
We progressed
more and more. When we look back from day to day, there's more progression, you know.
I think we see Jesus clearer through tears than we do any other way. In the time that we're broken, a broken vessel, he can do a lot with. First of all, knowing a brokenness, it takes God to mend you. He is the great physician among all of us.
Yes. Yeah, he can take something that's broken, like a vessel, round it back up, put it in the clay, and make it, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. What's contained within the walls, isn't it? It's not the vessel at all, but what it contains within the walls.
That's Brother Oscar said here. Yes, beautiful.
Well, I think, let me read this, because I think this really shows where the world is today. It says, but just experiencing God's wonder and grace didn't seem to mean much to most of them. Most of them were defeated by temptation during the hard times in the desert, and God was not pleased. The same thing could happen to us. We must be on guard so that we never get caught up and wanting our own way as they did, and we must not turn our religion into a circus as they did. And I think that speaks about what the way of world is today, and the fact that I think it shows that people don't take their walk with Christ seriously. That might hurt some people's feelings, but it's true. And I can say that there are times when I can say the same thing about myself. Mm-hmm. But like, who was it said before? They were walking with all this awe and wonder every day, you know. Well, what makes us think that we're not doing the same thing? How many times have we seen something happen in our lives that we never thought would happen? Or someone get, you know, someone be sick or something, and all of a sudden they're, you know, the dire circumstances are not dire anymore. You know, I think Ed is a prime example of that.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Yes, amen.
You know, when you get sick, everybody was really worried about you. And if we all listened to what everybody thought, they, you know, our own thoughts about what was going on with you, you wouldn't be sitting here today. But we thought that God could heal you and get you to get you back to where you are.
Amen.
And here you are. You know, you, to me, you're a walking miracle.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, I guess what I'm saying is, why do we not recognize what's right in front of us every day? Because we're too busy with all the other junk that's going on around us. Time to get rid of the junk.
Our neighbor Patty died on Monday morning. And we have to recognize, I think, you know, it's in God's hands, it's not ours. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, we prayed for her, wanted her to live. But God's plans are God's plans.
Amen.
And we just have to thank the Lord for the time she was here and the life that she had and the people that she touched. And Lord, bless those kids. I mean, they're not kids anymore. They're adults, but they...
Still everybody. Kids.
Yeah.
Our kids are always our kids.
And I thank God for the people that who touched her.
Yeah, God, yes. Brought her
such a level
your
of
lives.
Maturity that she did not yet know. He placed her perfectly.
The Lord gave me a poem years ago about death, and it goes like this. Death often seems to be the very end, but in reality, it's where all things begin. We think of the loss of someone that we love, but death opens the doors of eternity above. Far above all sickness and sorrow and pain, far above confusion, with peace and love to reign. For you see, we finally meet the Savior face to face, and truly learn the wonder of His free and loving grace. And you know, when someone dies, we hurt because we're going to miss them. But really, to be honest with you, they've been released from all of that pain, all of that sorrow, all of those sicknesses and weaknesses and all of those things. They've been set free from that. And you know, if we think of it in that vein, then we can almost say, well, there, you know, in the scriptures it talks about weeping when someone's born and rejoicing when they die.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, to a certain extent, I mean, that goes reverse of what we normally do. But that's really, in one sense of the word, we know that to be at, what Paul say, to be absent from the body is to be what?
Present.
Present with the Lord. And in His presence, there's what? Fullness of joy. So the sorrow that we feel is natural because we're going to miss them. And, you know, and it hurts because we're not going to see them in the natural anymore. But my goodness, if we could see them on the other side, they become part of that great cloud of witnesses urging you to go on to perfection, you know. And, you know, if we could look at it like that, it's not as bad of a thing, you know, because, you know, if we think, oh my God, why did they go through all what they went through? And we'll never understand that unless God opens it up and lets us see it. But you know, it's a release, you know. It's a definite release. And You know, I don't feel as bad when people die. No, now that I really totally understand that, that they're being released from maybe a body that's just causing them pain 24 hours a day or whatever, and all that kind of stuff. And you know, if we could hear them or see them as they've stepped through the door of this life into true life, then they would be saying, don't weep for me. I'm weep for you, because you're still there suffering. You're still there in that realm where you're going to experience those things. And I've stepped over into a glorious realm, you know. But
much that you said there, when you, I read this poem, you know, about those of you, I know you all know, because I said that the little lady I took care of, B, she passed Tuesday morning. She had her service arranged since 1999, 2000, or whatever. Thing arranged so beautiful. Except I wasn't on there because I wasn't around her then. But when I would read the different poems that I've written for different people, she said, are you going to write one for me? And I said, of course I am, but you're not going to work. I'd be in tears. I just loved her so much. But I looked at what God did, and I'll share with y'all, you know, for a service. And a lot of what you were saying there is at the very bottom of my book. God gave me that I had at the bottom, you know, that poem. And got to see all of her family. It was a short notice because they had the service on a Saturday. But they all came in. They come from Florida and Connecticut and New Jersey. And beautiful, beautiful.
Say a couple things about what you guys were saying before about manna. They had manna.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the word manna, if you look it up in Strong's, it actually is the word, and it's pronounced man. Man, M-A-N, you know. There's no A on the end of it. You know, but they pronounce it manna. Mm-hmm. But literally, when Jesus said, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. That was a type of what, those were all types and shadows of what was happening back there. And that's why they really did not believe, because it was types and shadows of the true that was going to come forth. You know, he was that rock. We know that he told the woman at the well, out of your inner, you know, if you believe in me, out of your innermost being will flow what? Rivers of living water, you know. And all of the things, if you know, if you look at the Old Testament and you really see the types of shadows, you know, I mean, they were under a cloud. Well, right now we're under a cloud. We're under a cloud of witnesses of the Holy Spirit and everyone that's went before us, urging us to go on to perfection. And there's times, I believe, when you're praying and stuff, there's that literally times when God will almost let you see that cloud. And I think I've witnessed that a couple of times when I was praying in the Spirit. And it would be, almost be like the room would get hazy, you know. But, you know, when we come to realize that had they totally moved into all of this stuff back then, they couldn't, because Jesus Christ hadn't come to redeem them. And he had to redeem all of mankind. And that's why he went back and he preached to the souls that were in, well, I'm going to say in hell, or whatever you want to call it, soul, the grave, or whatever you want to call it. And he led, and scripture says he led captivity captive. So they were in captivity in that sense. He led them captive. He led that captive. He released them. Just like what he tell that one guy that was on the cross with him, today you'll be with me where?
In paradise.
Mm-hmm. And everybody tries to make paradise be something other than heaven. But if you go back into Revelations, it talks about the paradise of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can't really separate those things, you know. And but you know, so many of the types and shadows. And if you read down here where it talks about, you know, in verse 7 where it says, and be not idolaters, as some were, as it is written, people sat down to eat, to drink, and rose up to play. That's what the church wants to do today.
They want to eat, drink, have a good time, and go out and play, you know. Well, you know, there's going to come a time when the play needs to stop, you know. In Isaiah, where he talks about, you know, I can't remember exact scripture, but he talks about them playing on the hole of an asp, you know, and doing all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, it's time for them. He said there's going to come a time when they'll reach their hand into the crocodile's den, into the poisonous snake's den. Mm-hmm. And that's when the church grows up.
Hallelujah.
They're going to stick their hand in there and pull that thing out by the roots, mm-hmm. you know. But right now, people are playing on that hole. Mm-hmm. They play around on it, and, you know, they don't take it serious. Mm-hmm. And that's where the majority of the church really is. That's why if you go to some big, huge church where they've got tons of great musicians and tons of great singers, and they're going to throw you Super Bowl parties and have beer after church and let you drink and get drunk or whatever and do all kind of things, you know, people, the world will jump right into that, you know what I mean, because that's playing to the world side of people, you know. But you start teaching the Word of God, and you'll find that people begin to say, well, Jesus, when he stood up and said, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. And what did it say? And many went away and walked with him no more.
Yeah, yeah.
And what did he say to Peter now? Will you go away also? Well, Peter said, well, Lord, you've got the words of life. He said, how can I go away from that? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? That's right. Are you going to go back out into the law and back out into the entertainment stuff? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think is that hard to get a bunch of people. All you got to do is do things that caters to the world, mm-hmm. and they'll come. But I'm going to tell you what, there's going to come a time when the world is, that ain't going to work. That ain't going to suffice. And there's going to have to be a ministry rise up that's willing to stick its hand right in the middle of that thing and let the anointing of God break it loose, you know. But, you know, anyway.
I've been really convinced for a long time, and this is just me speaking, that the day is here. It is, we're on the threshold of it, that this, the glory that God gave to Christ, he says, I have given it to them, that they may be one, even as we are one.
Right.
And that, and you know, there is, when things are done in pride, that is not the glory of God on us. The deep humility, the blessing of being used of God, and knowing that the glory that God gave to Jesus, he has given to us. We are Christ to the world. And I believe that the day is coming when that church that's playing games and things, nothing's going to work. It's all going to go down and their games are going to mean nothing. And there's going to be need, real, real need. And that is when, and I see it, I've seen it for a while, that the sons of God, when we are one, that the world will then believe, what is that, that when I and you and me and they and, you know, that then the world will believe. And the day will come when you can walk up to a person and just say, all power. Christ gave me the power. Put your hands on it. And fulfill the need that they have. Wow. And it's so humbling. But we have to be one. We have to stop. You know, I don't care what name appears on the church. The only thing to me that matters is, what is your relationship with Almighty God? I don't care where they go to church. You can be in your church but not of it. The same way we are in the world but not of it. So be of good cheer. And you can be of good cheer relating with anybody, anywhere. no matter what name is on the church, if they have a relationship. And Ed, when you were praying, I'm thinking, that's God's girl. She's talking to him like he's her daddy.
Like he's sitting across from you.
Like he's sitting right in the chair next to you. And you're putting your arms around him and you're telling him how much you love him. And honey, there are people who would give anything to have that ability to pray and to know God the way you know him. So be of good cheer, my dear.
Every day.
Uh-huh.
Every day.
You just spend your day with him. It's fine.
My daughter says, start a conversation, you know, talk to them. I said, you can't. Some people you can't talk to because they don't understand what you're saying. One day, there's this little lady. I loved her. Oh, she blessed my heart. She couldn't walk. She couldn't talk. She just existed. And, but she knew what you were saying. Mm-hmm. Because if we had, like we had a party and you had to get dressed up, well, they had clothes for ones that didn't have it. Anything, and she was dressed up, and I said, oh, you're so beautiful, you got the pretty dress on, you got your hair, and she just giggled, you know, put her head down. She was so happy that somebody said something nice to her. Now she knew that, she knew, and she died. It broke my heart. She was, but I said, what am I crying for? She's where she's supposed to be. And She was next door to me, you know, up there in this place. And, but if you'd have seen her, if you could have met her, she'd have tore your heart out. Because she was a little bitty. Little bitty thing, and but she liked to hear good things, you know, how pretty she was, and oh, it just tickled her so much. And then she was gone. Now, did God send her there and took her away? Had to. He had to take her home. And which helped me because I was scared of death to die. Oh. When you die, you're dead. You're nothing. You don't think you're nothing, but you are. Especially if you're a Christian and you die, you're going home, a real home. And you're gonna see all the things that we're talking about now. Or, you know, I think that way. I think that when you do you know what so and so said the other day? It was so funny. Ha ha ha. Yeah. You're when you go home, you're going home to a good home because you're excited to be there. I know I'll be excited to be there for the bad things that I did. And then when I go, when anybody goes, it's, you know what it feels like when you, well, you wouldn't know.
Thank you very much.
Well, because you could have gone a long time ago and been happy.
For a long time.
Yeah. Where I wasn't so good, and then when I became happy, I knew it was a good thing. You know, I'm going to see everything that we talked about now, you know. Could it be that good? Could it be that happy? And I almost found out. But they told me, my doctor, my heart doctor, he said, you know, you should have never lived because you're 84 years old. I was 84 back then. And he said, most people in their 30s don't make it. I mean, a lot of them do. But I didn't think it was so bad, because I sat through the whole thing. But, you know, now take yourself, you're a doctor, a heart doctor. And first, they catch you open with a, well, you know.
That I do.
So.
Time to go.
You know, it's beyond words.
Yes.
God had to say so.
Yes. And you live through it. God is good.
Amen.
He was. I don't know what I would have done. If he hadn't been so good to me. But I told a bunch of people. Well,
God was,
I said, you got all these instruments. You got this to keep your heart going. You got this to do something else, and you got this instrument, do something else. And he said, and I said, if I'm gonna die, not one of these instruments is gonna see, yeah, keep me alive.
That's right. Only God.
Good job.
God will. I thought crazy things.
Let's get ready and close for church, okay?
But
that's why I said you're a walking miracle.
Yes, thanks so much.
Buddy, would you close us in a word of prayer, please?
Well, he's a miracle. He was a miracle before me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And you know, when they put you to sleep, boy, they put you to sleep. Did they put you to sleep? Oh, they had to.
That would have been cruel.
Because my doctor seen my heart. I mean, he was right there, hand, you know.
Great, it's a physician.
And
He had your heart in his hands.
Right.
See, the greatest physician is God. He had your heart in his hands, mm-hmm. and he had all the instruments in his control.
That's right.
Yeah, sure did.
Okay, let's pray, and we better get into
yes,
church.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father,
thank you, Lord.
Father, we just thank you for this class, Lord. We thank you for letting us share your word and
yes.
enjoying your word, Father, mm-hmm. and enjoying each other. Mm-hmm. Father, just have your way in both in the main service today. Mm-hmm. Bring forth your word, Father, that we may enjoy it, and we may take it to heart, and we may walk it out.
Yes.
We ask it all in Jesus' name.
Oh, yes. Father.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
But every